Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoatBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. Kaboom! New tower.
From the desert plains of Tatooine to the 2D grasslands of the Mushroom Kingdom, this is Boxhead Radio here on CodeBoxMedia.com. I am your wonderful host, Baziel, Baz for short. Joined in studio, as always, is the lovely Kat. Kat, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Baz.
Wonderful. I don't know about you, but I always rock out to that intro. I'm just like, I have my air guitar, and I'm just like, woo! This intro's awesome every time I hear it.
I love it. I think you did wonderful.
Thank you. Well, awesome week this week. We have quite a show. We are going to be interviewing Abel Gamers, and we will get him on in just a second. But before that, Kat, how was your week? What is new? What have you been up to?
My week's actually been pretty slow. There really hasn't been too much going on. Weather's been pretty nice, so I can't complain about that. So
I have
been looking forward to the snow. Still no snow. Which some of you, if you're listening who are in the Northeast, please send the snow my way so that I can be a little bit more cheery. That might work. Just a little
I would definitely agree. We had snow here in Ohio for literally 45 minutes, and then it rained, and now it's 41 degrees outside. And I'm like, really? Okay. And, you know, Ohio is known for, like, its WTF winters. So we haven't gotten we have gotten a WTF winter, but it's more of a reverse spring. So, I don't know. It's weird.
Right.
But, guys.
So it's all melted then.
Yeah, pretty much. Or iced over. It's usually melted or iced over, so it's, like, lesser of two evils. I'm just like, can I just have the snow? I want to make a snowman, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really sad. I have Animal Crossing, and I'm making a snowman at Animal Crossing and getting my fulfillment out of that stinking thing. I'm like, really?
Oh, goodness.
Jeez.
You sound like me, because I've been playing the Holiday Town with the snow in.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. But guys, if you guys wish to get into contact with us in any way, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube is /CodeBoxMedia. We have kept it simple. If you wish to call in and talk to us, the phone number here is 347-838-9713. You can call in on any device that actually has a telephone connection. Once again, that is 347-838-9713. And with that being said, we are going to give our wonderful guest, our gracious guest, Mark Barlett. I knew I would screw that up. From Abel Gamers. He is the president and co-founder of Abel Gamers Foundation. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. I apologize. I screwed up your name like I knew I would.
That's okay. I'm not worried about it.
That's why Baz has one syllable name.
Shut up. It's so true, though. It's like, I don't know my own name. Oh, well. Mark, it is wonderful to have you, sir. We are very, very humbled to have you a part of our show. And how has your week been? What have you been up to this week? Have you been playing any games?
Yeah, I'm still very much playing Star Wars The Old Republic. And it was really warm here today outside of D.C. It was 56 degrees, and I have a convertible, and I had to do some errands, and I was really kind of contemplating, well, I could put a pullover on and put the top down, or...
Oh, you know what? You should have, and you should have tweeted it and put a picture on Facebook or something. That would have been just a classic. And I'm sure that would have spread all over the internet, and Photoshop would have had a field day with that. But
it would have been viral.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time, big time. Mark,
if any photos of me were going to go viral, they would have done it already. So. I'm notorious for taking pictures of myself getting my hair done.
Oh.
My mother always says, wow, another proud moment in my life.
Oh, wow, you are a brave man, sir. There's no way I would do that because I have friends that go to school for graphic design, and they're like, hey, can I have some pictures of you? And I'm like, no, because I know what you do for a living. There's no way in hell I am giving you photos of myself. So
nice all the pictures.
Yeah. Mark, would you be so kind to discuss the background of Able Gamers and what the foundation is and how you actually help gamers?
Sure. Well, the Able Gamers Foundation is a product of some needs within my own family. We concentrate on helping people with disabilities get into video gaming, game better, learn about games that might fit their disabilities, because games are pretty awesome, and we think that everyone should have an opportunity to game. And, you know, I'm a person of disabilities, and my best friend, the co-founder, she has multiple sclerosis, and she was finding her disease taking away her ability to game. So we look for some resources out on the world, and I don't know if you guys have heard of this thing called the internet. I don't know. It's like this information, and it comes to your computer, and I think you can get them on your phone now too.
Really?
Yeah, we were using this. I use this site called Google or something like that.
Goggle. It's
the goggle.
Goggle.
Yeah, and we didn't find any information because we really had a need. And So, given that I have a technology background, back in 2004, we just kind of created Able Gamers as a community for gamers with disabilities, because we figured if we were looking for information, there's probably other people out there looking for it as well.
That's awesome. And yeah, you know, finding things on goggles is really hard. I can't imagine why you had such a hard time finding information on that.
It was tough wading through all. Never mind.
But
It really is. You know, and you type in one thing, and you have to be specific about what you're looking for, especially when you're dealing with disabilities, because there's all kinds of disabilities. And there's not going to be one specific site that comes up and is going to tell you everything about everything that's available for the disabled gamer. So can you share a brief story that Able Gamers has taken part in to provide a successful outcome for the disabled gamer?
There's a couple of really great stories. I mean, one of the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, in the disability world is colorblindness. You know, so many, especially men, are colorblind. I mean, 1 in 7 men are colorblind. And given how important color is to gaming, it's surprising sometimes that more games don't have features and options for colorblind gaming. But because of some of the work that Able Gamers Foundation has been doing, we're seeing, you know, a lot more games, one, coming out with colorblind options from the beginning, something that Star Wars The Old Republic has. You know, some of the other MMOs, even World of Warcraft, at much later down the road, finally put in stuff to help with colorblind gamers. And then, you know, you see remappable keys in the console world that helps gamers with one hand and you know, gamers who may have some disabilities in their hands be able to move the keys around to different parts of the controller that are, you know, better suited for their disability. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good success stories that have come out. And I really kind of, being a gamer from the very beginning, I mean, I had a Commodore 64, if I'm aging myself a little bit, and a 900 baud rate modem. There was no accessibility features in gaming even 10 years ago, and I'm seeing more and more games coming out. And I really think it's because of the hard work of you know, organizations like the Able Gamers Foundation, who are out there hitting the developers all the time going, hey, have you thought about the 33 million people in the United States that are disabled who want to play your game?
Right. So you
– Go ahead, Kat. Go ahead.
I was curious about the colorblind features.
Yeah, me too.
Is that something that is embedded into the software program that the developers – do, or is it something that you have to attach to the computer in order for it to translate?
No, it's something that the developers are putting in it. I mean, the real simple way to describe how a colorblind feature would work is if you're looking at a map and it's red-green, you know, your enemy owns the red parts and you own the green parts, you know, also putting a symbol like a, you know, equal sign and a plus sign so that even if I can't tell a differentiation because of color, I can see the symbol. I know that I'm on the team that's got the plus signs and my enemy has the equal signs. Or you choose a color palette. You choose a color palette that doesn't fall within red-green. I mean, for instance, you can, you know, use the oranges and blues and things like that. Because, you know, colorblinding is interesting. You know, there's like red-green colorblind, and there's, you know, there's just a various, you're very few people see in black and white.
Right. See, you know, I think it's really hard to visualize, no pun intended, being colorblind. Because, you know, like for myself and I'm sure most people out there that are listening and just in general, we see the colors that people sometimes aren't able to see. So for me to wrap my mind around that is really difficult because I'm, you know, not being able to see like green or my favorite color or something, which just is something that I think that a lot of people take for granted. And, you know, I have actually turned on colorblind mode to see what it does. And I think it's really cool. I know that World of Warcraft did actually put it in. I think it was about 3 years ago. Yeah, it was around the 3.3 patch mark. But it was really interesting to see how the programming actually works for people like that. It's like, okay, so instead of, you know, seeing a reticle on the ground, you see maybe a, like you said, a plus sign or just like some symbol that would be recognizable to that person because they can't see the fire about to burst from their feet and they have to move. And so I just think that's awesome because it's such
a... Well, and it's interesting because for those that are out there playing Star Wars The Old Republic, if you play in any of the PvPs, it's something that you're seeing but you don't actually recognize. If someone's doing an area of effect and they're Republic, you see the Republic symbol on the floor where the area of effect is about to hit, and if you're Empire, you see the Empire symbol. Same with, I know, the PvP that I enjoy is the turret one for those that are playing. If you run to the turret, it actually shows you the symbol of who owns it above it, but it's a color and it's a symbol. So they're using the Empire and Republic symbols all throughout the game to kind of give you an indication, because you also see, if I'm Empire, you see mine when I'm about to do an area of effect, which may be a beneficial heal.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to run from the heal, but you would want to run from the, you know, bounty hunter laying bombs on your butt.
Yeah, and that's standard in Star Wars. That's not a colorblind feature. Like, that's just there.
But it is a colorblind feature as well.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was something that maybe I checked without realizing.
But that's what's great about accessibility is if you do it right, it helps everybody.
Exactly.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea that's why they did that.
You know, I haven't actually talked to everyone there. I've got a few contacts over, and we don't know that they did it for that. They did it for many other reasons as well, but that is one of the outcomes. One of the outcomes is it's a colorblind feature.
That's awesome.
Right.
I mean, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Same with the remappable keys and things like that. I mean, it's MMOs do a great job. Unfortunately, console games don't, of allowing you to kind of remap the buttons. And if you don't want to use, you know, W, A, S, and D, you can use, you know, arrows or I, J, K, and L, or if you're really wanting confusing, Control A, Control P, pound sign.
Right. Yeah. How do you connect these games with the appropriate technology they need or the companies that provide them? How would you go about that?
Well, unfortunately, our website is down today because I broke it, and it's apparently being restored. But I did do it on purpose. I was working on upgrading our website to the next version of Jamla, and I just wrecked it. But what we did is we created the Able Gamers Foundation's community website, ablegamers.com, and the purpose of that was really to give gamers with disability a community that they can go to and openly talk about their disabilities in a much safer space than most gaming spaces are. I find gamers were really kind of vicious people to each other from time to time. And I've never understood, like, you know, we're kind of, it's like literally saying we all are in the same political party, but we're just going to be nasty to each other constantly. Like, I never understood that. But that said, we wanted to create a site that allowed people to come and kind of disclose their disability, talk about what they want to play, what they're playing, and allow other people who may have similar circumstances go, oh, have you tried the blah, 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 or if you go into the options screen and turn on the who's a what'sy, that should help you considerably. Because I believe very strongly in the source, the crowdsourcing model, and, you know, just it come to the site and say, this is what my issue is, and I guarantee you someone on the site goes, you know, I had a similar problem, I use this piece of technology, or I use this piece of software. And so we created that, and we really are pleased with where that would go. That's going, except that it's broken right now. But it'll be up tonight.
That's awesome. I mean, again, you know, CodeBox really focuses on community and community aspects. So it's just every time I hear anyone talk about community and, hey, our community is awesome, it bubbles me up inside, because so many people just they don't care. They're just like, it's the internet. I can be whoever I want. And so what you guys have developed here is essentially a big family of people that say, hey, I have this problem, or, you know, I can only use my feet. Is there a keyboard that I can use for my feet? Or it's just, I love that kind of stuff.
And that same anonymity, though, that you talk about is one of the reasons why I think gaming is so attractive to people with disabilities. Because you don't have to, I mean, I can present myself on the internet in a way that I want to be presented. And you might not see, you know, the missing foot or the missing fingers or the ventilator that I have, or the nurse standing behind me, or the crazy chair. You see, you know, an orc or an empire or whatever.
Right. And they're treated along the same exact lines as if the person were sitting right next to them, as without a disability. And I think that's a wonderful aspect, allowing that community to develop so strongly. In fact, do you find that in the community there's a lot more PC gamers than console gamers, or is it kind of a mix?
It's a real mix. I would have thought it's a PC. If you would have asked me, and I think when we first started our adventure, it was much more PC. PC peripherals are way cheaper. The USB port is an open source port, so building peripherals for the PC are much cheaper. You know, Xbox's walled garden. You know, if you want to talk to Xbox, you have to give Microsoft a pile of cash. Same with PS3.
Right.
But we found in the community it's really a real good mix. In fact, I would dare say that I think gamers want to gravitate towards consoles more than they want to gravitate towards PCs.
Do you find that it's harder with the technology for the disabled gamers to be implemented with the consoles than it is the PC, as far as, I mean, once changes are into effect, do you find that it may be harder to adapt that with the console, the way that the controllers are?
Well, the consoles are much more difficult to interface with. Again, you know, every Xbox controller has a little chip in it that tells the Xbox, I'm a legitimate paying controller, let me talk to you. And, you know, we've helped, like the Able Gamers Foundation has worked with the guys over at Evil Controllers, and we've kind of created a controller called the Adroit Switchblade, which is a Switch-enabled controller that interfaces with the Xbox. It does it through some probably not-so-copacetic magic. But, you know, it does get the job done in the fact that it allows someone who really wants a customized controller to be able to develop a customized controller just through the switches and everything like that. But the PC, I mean, anyone can build. The driver for a USB port is real short, real simple, and you can, you know, peripherals. That's why you see so many things you can plug into a PC, because you don't have to have an SDK license from, you know, Microsoft or Sony that costs upwards of $500,000 for the privilege to talk to those platforms.
Right. And with the consoles, now with the Kinect that's out and having to deal with motion, how is that? I mean, that to me, I mean, it has its potential, but my brother-in-law is quadriplegic. He's not going to get a Kinect. It's not, unless they had something that was was going to be able to, you know, put in his mouth and kind of utilize the motion sensitivity with that. But that kind of may need some work as far as, you know, assistive technology for gaming disabled gamers. Am I correct?
Well, I think you're correct. I mean, I know you're correct. I think that the difference is the way we at Able Gamers kind of think about gaming with disabilities. We're not thinking about, you know, I need to or want to play every game that's out there. People with disabilities recognize that there are things they're just not going to be able to do, and we're pretty okay with that, to be honest. What we want, though, is we want to make sure that we're included in as much gaming as possible. Is the Kinect a motion-based game? Yeah. Is someone who's a quadriplegic going to be able to play the Kinect? Probably not very well. What I do like about what the Kinect is bringing to the console world is voice activation. And I do think that the voice is a new way of controlling a game that's never been available to us before the Kinect. You know, I feel fortunate enough to know that gamers are pretty lazy, and Kinect is never going to replace a controller, because I know when I game for hours on end, and if you were to ask me that I needed to stand in front of my living room in front of the Kinect for hours on end so that I could play, you know, Call of Duty, I wouldn't play Call of Duty.
Nintendo seems to not grasp that concept at all still. They're like, hey, we're going to keep coming out with random stuff.
Yeah, so I'm pretty confident that there is a self-governor on the Kinect, and that self-governor is gamers.
That's usually how it starts, is, you know, you get an organization like Able Gamers in the community in order to actually get these changes implemented. Now, with that said, and having said that my brother is quadriplegic, and I believe that my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law are listening tonight, we are miles apart. We're states away, and we don't get to see them too often. And he's really into games, but it's not – he's pretty much limited himself to, like, checkers or, you know, solitaire, things like that, because he has a – device that he puts on his head, and then it goes into his mouth, and he has to kind of move it that way. And then he'll send us emails by bringing up the keyboard on his computer and then having to type, and it takes him a little bit, but he accomplishes it. The concern that I have is that he really wants to get into the World of Warcraft and the, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic and game with my kids. He misses, you know, his nieces and nephews, and us as well, of course. But how does the disabled gamer or their caregiver go about finding these devices or applying for grants or so forth? How is that? How are they going to go forward with that?
It depends on from state to state. I do know that in some states, gaming equipment is covered through various state Medicare, Medicaid programs, and in other states, it's not. The Able Gamers Foundation does, on occasion — we're not really well-funded. We are a 501c3 public charity, but the economy has been really bad and pretty bad for everybody, especially nonprofits. And so we do give grants out. We just gave a disabled veterans grant. I happen to be a veteran myself, who was disabled while I was active duty.
Thank you, sir.
Our first, no problem. Our first — it wasn't that glamorous. I worked as a lab tech in the Air Force. I had the crappiest job in the military. It actually came down in buckets. But that said, we had a disabled veterans grant, and we had a sponsor, a donor, who had given us a donation and said, you know, I really want to help this constituent group. So we were able to give three grants away, and I know those grants allowed us to purchase a custom controller for one Army veteran who had an injury in Iraq, and then we bought an Xbox for a disabled Navy veteran with a controller that was a little bit better suited for him. Unfortunately, we didn't have the funds for a full custom controller, but his disability didn't require him to need a full custom controller. And then we had a Marine who also was looking for an Xbox because he wanted to game with his buddies. And he had a small family and was disabled and unemployed and really was saying, you know, I just want an Xbox so that I can, you know, my kids and I can have a good time and do so, you know. So we were really, really privileged to be able to provide these three grants to you know, those men and women that were serving and have served us well, and we're really excited that we've been able to do that. This year I know that we're going to be targeting a grant set for children with disabilities and their caregivers so that we can, you know, get some younger people with disabilities into gaming so that we can, you know, let them really enjoy the social aspects that I think gaming can give. So, you know, what I would tell you guys is, you know, first check with the AT coordinator for your brother-in-law. So there should be an AT coordinator that he would know who would be in it. It varies on state to state what they're called. It would be an assistive technology coordinator to see if there's any programs from the state, because unfortunately a lot of this equipment can be expensive, real expensive, because it's custom one-off stuff. And if there isn't a grant available locally, you know, keep an eye out on ablegamers.org when we get my site standing back up. or you know, the other thing is, one of the things that we as the foundation have been trying to do is, and when we were working with Evil Controllers and everything, was trying to make the technology much more affordable. And, you know, our idea is no piece of technology should be more than a birthday away. And our thoughts being that, you know, if the family members all chipped in money, you know, grandma or, you know, mom and dad chipped in $150 and, you know, a couple of, you know, basically you could pool your birthday wish together and get a piece of technology. And I know the Adroit Switchblade is priced right at, I think it's $399 for that, and we thought that was, you know, because it is a one-off, it is a handmade piece of equipment, that's why the price point is so high, because they're all handmade. But it's still affordable in the sense of, if I were to ask my, you know, three closest friends and my mom and dad, I could get one.
Excellent. Excellent.
Very, very, very awesome. You know, I seriously, thank you to all the men and women who have, you know, been overseas and you know, given their lives and come back with disabilities and just kind of had to endure the crap fest that they endure because for some reason, you know, they're not appreciated or something. And I just thank you for being the voice out there that people can go to. I really appreciate that. So. Spot on,
I don't think we're doing anything special. I think we're just doing what needs to be done.
But see, that's the whole problem. People don't even do that. I mean, it doesn't have to be something special. You guys are doing what people should do in the first place, and they don't. So you guys essentially are doing something special. I think you guys need to be patted on the back for that. So good job.
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank
you. What are some of the big games that work with these assistive technology devices? I know that recently you did give Star Wars Old Republic a award for that. There were some other games in the running for that. Could you explain what those games were and what the award actually covered?
Sure. So, yeah, we did give Star Wars The Old Republic the award. It was a game that, you know, I think what really set it apart from maybe a World of Warcraft was it's only had, you know, one patch since it went live. Well, it's had a bunch of patches, but it's only had one big patch since it's gone live. All the features that really made us go towards giving that award were in it at launch. You know, the game is fully closed captioned. You can turn it on. Now, by default, it'll only closed caption those cutscenes that are speaking a language that is not English. But if you go into the settings, you can actually turn closed captioning on for everyone, and that's great for gamers with gamers who are deaf.
Wow!
It also has the colorblind features that are built in from the very beginning. It has the completely remappable key system. There are some places where it could do better. We wish it had click to move, but unfortunately, it doesn't. The other factor in it is that we always like the games that are heavily social aspects, because I think that's one of the things that makes gaming great, especially gaming with a disability, is that, you know, there's the social aspect that allows you to, you know, project yourself in a way that you want to be projected. Some of the other games that were in the running, I know that Fallout New Las Vegas was the pick, was one of the big picks for the year. Unfortunately, I mean, it didn't have the social aspects that Star Wars had, and the game itself wasn't really as popular. I mean, frankly, if we, you know, by the time the award time comes around, Star Wars Fallout New Las Vegas is already in the used game section of GameStop. So.
Okay. I guess just kind of another kind of follow-up question to that is what qualifies for games to be on this list? Does it have to be a certain list that you guys maybe have set, or is it, you know, if it has at least one feature, it's qualified?
No, it doesn't have to. I mean, the three big ones that we look for are supporting gamers with mobility disabilities, hearing disabilities, and colorblind visual disabilities. So visual disabilities, we mean, like, can you make the text larger? Can you make it smaller? Can you, you know, change the font size? For the deaf, is it closed captioned? Do I have an idea of what's going on around me without the headphones on? Because I don't hear the sound. And then for the mobility disabled, do I have the ability to remap the keys to match my play style? Can I just use the mouse to play it? In the console game, the three also exist there, except no mouse. But okay. Can I remap the buttons and things like that?
Okay, cool. Awesome. Before we let you go, Mark, Kat, was there any other questions you had for Mark? Maybe something that maybe kind of got sparked a little bit while talking to him?
Yeah, actually, you did have a 2011 holiday shopping guide for the disabled gamer that was out. Am I correct?
Yep.
And I know that this list had a variety of different technology and devices that would aid people with a range of the disabilities. Can you tell us what some of those items were for those people who missed the holiday guide?
Sure. We had the Adroit Switchblade, which is something that the Able Gamers Foundation helped create. We had a really great controller from Quasimodo called the Axis controller, which is really a professional arcade stick that they made a couple of variations for, which is, we have found, been great for gamers with cerebral palsy who've really found a lot of success with this. Can't remember all of them off the top of my head, and frankly, because I broke the site, I can't reference it.
That's okay. I just thought I'd go.
But there's also some great games. I mean, if one of the games that's, you know, that we've had a lot of fun with at our arcades has been My Golf Game and My Football Game by the V-Tree Technology people. This game company is building games specifically designed from the ground up for people with disabilities. So, you know, those are, you know, very much worth mentioning.
That's awesome. Once the site is back up, and for our listeners, it's www.ablegamers.com. And again, Mark had mentioned that the site is down at the moment, but once it's back up, you'll want to look at their 2011 holiday shopping guide, because even though it's a holiday shopping guide, I think it's a wonderful resource for the parents and children and of disabled gamers and the gamers themselves. So I really appreciate you adding that in there. And again, Mark, before we let you go, I really want to appreciate what you're doing from somebody who has a disabled individual in our family and whom we love deeply, and it saddens me because he really does want to get involved, and he hasn't had that chance. He's been like this for, you know, since he was 16, and he's 36 now, so he has not had that opportunity that other people take for granted, and we want him to be able to have that opportunity with us. So I appreciate everything that you're doing, and I think it's for those who are listening as well, please take some time to visit them, and if you have any donations or anything you'd like to give as far as grant-wise, please, I'm sure Mark would be very appreciative of that as well.
Yep, our nonprofit site, when it's up, is ablegamers.org. There's a donate button at the top of the page. We are a 501c3 public charity in the United States, so donations are tax deductible for those gamers out there that are worrying about their tax situation.
Right. Mark, is there any contact information that you would like to give out for maybe a company that's looking to actually try and get into this market, or maybe a family that really wants to talk to someone that can get something done about their situation?
Sure. What we really do recommend, and this is for the greater good of the community, is if you're a gamer with disabilities or a caregiver who's trying to interface for a person with disabilities, go to ablegamers.com, register, it's free, and don't hesitate asking your questions to the larger community. You're welcome to email me at mark@ablegamers.org, even though my email is currently down right now, but it should be up in a little while. and I'm more than willing to talk to you one-on-one, but I do believe that there's a greater good when you ask those questions to the community, because someone who says, I'm going to take the time to write this out, doesn't realize that they may be helping someone who's a lurker on the site as well. So you may have a person you're asking on behalf of, but you have no idea how many people you're going to help by asking the question and allowing us to answer it in a more public forum. And we're not asking for names and social security numbers or anything like crazy. We're just, I'm a caregiver. My son has, cerebral palsy, and he can do this, this, and this. What would you guys recommend? And I guarantee the community is just going to jump in and be like, have you thought about this? What about this? Here. And I think that the 6 months down the road, the other parent who has a daughter with CP goes, I don't even need to ask my question because here's the answer.
Right. Awesome. Well, Mark, my friend, it has been an absolute pleasure having you. Again, guys, Mark, he is the president and co-founder of Able Gamers Foundation. Check them out, ablegamers.com. And, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye. Have a good show.
You too.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh, that was awesome. I was...
I love hearing stories about that. That just, that's awesome. Because, and the thing is that they're not paid to just go, unlike somebody who's getting paid to do it, they're doing it to get paid and that's their job. Nonprofit organizations don't get paid for that. I mean, they depend thoroughly on the community.
Yeah.
And so that really, him taking the time to put all that together and bring people together that will help each other is just wonderful. I many blessings to him.
Yeah, guys, seriously. Ablegamers.com, guys. I personally don't know anyone that's disabled, but I gotta be telling you, honest with you guys, I was holding back tears the whole interview. It's so awesome. I love meeting people who are genuine and just they remind me of little house in the prairie times where everyone just actually helps each other. Because you don't see that in America anymore. You don't even see that in the world anymore. Because this world is just so royally screwed up and. You get people like Mark who's just like, hey, let's do this because I want to. Oh, it's so awesome. Oh, it's just
feel
so
the
great.
Love, Baz.
Feel the love. But all right, guys, you know what? Let's continue on with the show. We have a couple of wonderful segments to get to this week. Again, if you want to call in on the show, 347-838-9713. Call in, damn it, or email or something. It make the show even better. That way we can answer your question and talk to you, and you guys get to hear your voice on air or podcast. Doesn't that sound fun? Come on, you know you want to.
You can feel the love, too.
Yes. We're going to go on to our first segment of the week. And
All right. Quiet down. Hey, just quiet down.
That's better.
Now it's time for Family Game of the Week.
Yes, Family Game of the Week. Yeah.
I'll go have ahead. To tell you, every time I hear that, I'll love it.
Okay, I know I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to be like, Patrick, we need to have a talk.
You're like, about what?
He's like, you know what? And I'm like, there's so many things. But he's going to say that segment. He goes, that was just not called for. But what family game of the week do we have this week?
We are going to briefly go over Disney's Club Penguin. I don't know if anybody's ever played it before, but I'll tell you what, it's a very, very cute family game. Club Penguin is a snow-covered free virtual. There I am with my snow again, aren't I?
Oh, you said snow. I'm in. I'm going to register my account right now.
I'm really, really digging this snow. I've got to have some. But it's a free virtual world where children play games and interact with friends in the guise of colorful penguin avatars. The players create a penguin and explore the snow-covered islands of Club Penguin, of course, engaging in a variety of fun and imaginative activities. And players can chat, send greeting cards, use emotes, or choose from a set of predefined actions, such as waving or dancing. It's very social, as you can tell. Users can also attend parties and special events, take on the role of the latest stage play, adopt and care for a cute and cuddly Puffle pet. Yes, people, I said Puffle. And they can play games to earn virtual coins, which can be used to design the perfect igloo house. And they can, of course, what my daughter enjoys to do, dress up their penguin in really snazzy outfits. Some of the new content is added every week, and Club Penguin is designed for ages 6 to 14, but it's open to all ages. I am a member, yes. I'm not going to tell you my age. I'm just going to say I'm 14. How's that?
You know, it sounded really fun at first, and then you just kind of got into this weird, creepy, making your penguin dance and dress up. Like, you know, this is definitely a girl video game. Because
you know what, though? My son does play this game, but he plays the card-type game. There's two different types where the you can have a card type game and he does karate.
Grand
chops.
Theft Auto Penguin.
He does karate chops. Card Baz. Card C A R D.
Oh, card. Okay, well, close enough.
But the card game is kind of like Pokemon.
I'm a sucker for trading card games. It's terrible. I'm like, oh, cool, another trading card game. Let's try it. And no one I know ever plays it. And I collect all the cards. My wife's like, why'd you waste money on that? I'm like, oh, it was another trading card game. It looked cool.
It is a cute game. It really
that's
is.
Good. That's good. But I would recommend if you're a 14-year-old dude, don't tell your friends you play this because you will probably end up like Clark Kent tied to a freaking cross in the middle of a cornfield with an emerald thing around your neck. I would recommend not telling your friends you play this.
Yeah, it really is not a dating atmosphere. If you're 14 and you're looking to hit on the chicks, really, you don't want to go to
level
three.
What's your level? But all joking aside, it sounds like a fun.
Yes, it is www.clubpenguin.com, and I would recommend that, you know, it's very user friendly, very parental friendly. So for the girls, I guess, geared more towards them, this would be a great game. But again, the younger little boys would play it too.
That's
the
cool.
14-year-old boys, please stay away. My daughter plays. Please stay away.
Boy. Yeah, anyway.
You know what burns my ass? The flame about this high.
All right. With that sound, everyone knows it's time for my favorite segment, WTF of the Week. My segment this week is role players. More to the point of Lord of the Rings Online. I've been playing that game. I've been playing that for a while, actually. I just crafted make stuff. Their crafting system's awesome. But I listened to a couple of Lord of the Rings podcasts, and one of them I just realized was a really, really heavy role player. I'm like, oh, I won't be listening to this one anymore after this show. But he was complaining about the stupidest things. Kat, have you ever ran into these people where they, like, complain that people don't walk everywhere like they're supposed to, or... He was going on a rant for 30 minutes about how people should respect when his horse is walking down the road. They should get out of the way and not just allow him to walk through them. And, oh, it's just such bull that, you know, there's no dismounting animation now. The horse just kind of disappears, and they're ruining the game for all of us role players. I'm just like, holy crap, go the F outside. Go get a social life. I'm like, really, dude, you're upset because people are walking through you in a freaking video game. What? What?
I am a douchebag. Don't know how to play my class? Still do 20k DPS.
That's what I think of you. You're a douchebag. Oh my gosh. You know, I don't
you
mind
know,
the occasional RP myself. It's fun. It's fun to act like another character. I actually, you know, super nerd alert here. I actually did a lot of LARPing back in my day when I was a kid. For any of you who don't know, that's live action role play. You hit each other with foam swords. Yeah, it's really nerdy. But
I like it.
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But holy crap, you're playing a video game. It's Lord of the Rings Online. It is not super RPG Lord of the Rings Online where you role play everything. I'm going to run everywhere because it's faster, not because, oh, well, I don't run everywhere in real life, so I'm not going to do it in a video game. What? Ugh. Where's the gun sound?
I'm sorry, but walking everywhere would annoy the hell out of me.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I know, and especially in Lord of the Rings. It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like, I feel like I missed Roger's Neighborhood going, howdy, neighbor, let's go walk to the land or whatever. Oh
right.
My god.
Yeah, that would annoy me too. I mean, I look forward to getting sprint or you know.
Seriously.
Something.
Like I oh my holy frickin' t-shirt
and
on
so
fire.
Does individual say that he stays on the path he's supposed to stay on? I mean,
yeah,
apparently
people need to get the F out of his way while he's walking or trotting his lame horse. It's just like, dude, chill. Just chill. And then he was like, people need to get out of the way when I'm on my mounting path, too, like the little travel thing. I'm like, okay, if I see a speeding horse, I'm either not going to notice it because, oh, you're just on a travel path, or I'm not going to care. Well, like, he's saying... turbines making it so all the other people enjoy the game better than the RPers. And I'm like, no shit. Because
oh my goodness.
That's the people who are going to play. Half the people that are playing Lord of the Rings Online don't give a crap about the lore or the story. I'm one of them.
Wow.
I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. But I don't really care about the lore and the story here because it's just the MMO. And after playing Star Wars, if it's not voice acted, I don't give a crap.
That's right.
I'll give Lord of the Rings Online credit. They do have voice acting in the game, and the quests are a little bit more exciting than most MMOs. But you still have to go kill 20 effing boars 4 different times.
Right.
6 different places in 7 different locations. I'm just like, okay, this is boring. But calm the F down. Oh my gosh.
He probably lost his job, and he... trying to get out of reality.
it sounds like he's maybe been unemployed for a long time, or maybe he has a wife that does all the work for him or something. Like he sounded like he was like 40. So I'm like,
oh goodness.
I'm like, oh my gosh, why are you complaining? You're 40 years old and they're pixels. Shut up, please. Just
sounds like he's just not married at all. He's more like the 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I know that's one podcast I'll never listen to again. But I was just like, oh my gosh, this is a good segment. I mean, I was going to talk more about Star Wars and how it pissed me off, but they actually fixed stuff. So good job, BioWare. You're actually going on the correct track. There is no This Weekend Tour, but we might talk about it. But anyway, we are going to move on to our next segment. And where is the soundbite? I can't find it. Where you are?
There you are. Beware, I live.
And now it's time for totally off the wall. I'm going to go cry in the corner.
You'll want to cry in the corner after this one. This game is called Auwer, and it's spelled A-U-W-E-I-E-R. Auwer. And it's a German-based game, again.
Another German one. Wow, go figure.
It was made in 2001, designed by Henning Pohl, and the publisher is Sphinx Spieleverlag. Yeah. Any German listeners out there, you could probably help me out with that. This actually takes 2 to 4 players. It's best played with 3 players. Okay, so we're talking 3 players here. Recommended 4, it's recommended 4, but it says best with 3. I don't understand that, but all right. The play time is about 30 minutes, and the game is about for ages 12 and up. Again, I don't know what it is with Germans and 12-year-olds, but it is 12 and up. Let me explain this game to you. It is an egg-on mating game for screwing birds.
Oh,
yes, people, I said an egg-on mating game for screwing birds. Birds, no less. In this game, the player slips on the feathers of a male bird. Yes, people, you have to wear a costume. It is you slip on the feathers of a male bird through the use of bridal gifts, which are worms you put in your mouth and act like you're a bird. You try to convince the stunning female who is supposed to be with you in this game. Okay, I don't understand. Maybe they have 3 males, but supposedly you're supposed to have a female in here. In the middle of the table, they have to try, or the middle of the room, they have to try their best to father the female's eggs and turn her on. During the course of the game, males try to get it on and mate the female. I'm sorry. In order to achieve paternity over certain eggs. No lie, this is a game. You can look it up. However, not
I don't
all
want
the eggs
to.
Are going
I,
to be
I don't want to look it up.
I'm
so scary.
I can't breathe.
What the hell? Where do you find this stuff?
Don't ask.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm not sure where to go from that. I don't know. I
will track the enemy with my human call. I'm so wasted! I'm so wasted!
I just... You know what?
The king of the nest will no doubt be the one who manages to mate with the female.
That's awesome. We're going to go on to our next segment now that we've completely scarred all of our listeners, and we're probably going to get FBI knocking on our door going, what are you guys talking about? What's going on?
Hey, again, it's called Auwer, A-U-W-E-I-E-R, for those of you who are into the role-playing. Maybe we should kind of call that guy up about his horse.
We should. Now, the live portion of the show is going to end here in a couple minutes. So, Kat, why don't you go over our special announcement that we have before it goes into podcast mode.
Okay, next week you're really going to want to listen because we have a great Valentine's Day contest coming up. It's called I Heart Code Box, and you're going to want to find out what our prize is that we have given away. I'm not going to reveal it, and you're going to have to find out when you listen exactly how to enter.
Yes, it's going to be excellent. And you guys probably should figure out the prize because it's in the title. So
that's correct. And then next week we're going to talk with Scott Jochum from Digital Tech Frontier and Popar Toys.
So sweet.
Let's get it on.
Oh, geez, just like the birds. Okay, we're going to move on to our next segment. This is a new segment we have this week.
And now it's time for the news. Stop that.
Yep. Yep, that just happened. I don't know. I was like, that works. I mean, it's a news segment with an annoying person going, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, that was actually all me. I have an annoying voice, I know. But since Kat has, I guess, drowned up some cool news tidbits, what are they, Miss Kat?
Yeah, in the news this week is kind of short right now, but Star Wars The Old Republic apparently cost somewhere around $200 million to produce.
Oh.
If an estimate, yes, by an estimate put up by Hero Complex, the development team involved over 800 people working on four continents with nearly 1,000 actors recording dialogue for 4,000 characters in three different languages.
And that's where all the money went to.
That's right. Assassin's Creed 3, the hype for Assassin's Creed 3 has already started, despite revelations coming out only a few months ago. Ubisoft is confident that the series has maintained a healthy growth and that the final chapter in the current storyline will be the biggest to date. Speaking to Ubisoft's CEO, has already acknowledged that Assassin's Creed 3 set for release a holiday of 2012. It'll be a major step forward in the new series.
Oh, that's cool.
And lastly, I'm looking forward to that one, actually. Lastly, Netflix earnings call today revealed an interesting tidbit of information for the gaming industry. Netflix has dropped plans to rent games, according to statements made by CEO Reed Hastings. The company had announced plans to rent games through its Quixster service, a planned spinoff that would handle DVD rentals. But that plan died, and no doubt the news makes Gamefly very happy.
Yeah, I honestly never cared about Netflix whatsoever at all.
Neither did I.
I was like, oh, darn, they're not renting games. Where am I going to get my games now? Son of a bitch. Damn. Like, who cares? I mean,
yep.
Like, Netflix, like, you seriously think people actually care about that? I mean, okay, if you have rented games from Netflix, please email us. boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. That would be wonderful. I want to laugh at you. Because
I personally use Gamefly.
Yeah, I haven't rented a game in, jeez. Well, unless you count the library. If you count the libraries renting a game, they have Wii games for, you can take them out for a week for free. But I guess I'm not technically renting them since I'm not paying anything. But I don't know. I just, yeah. But guys, it's time to talk about what we've learned today and just kind of random stuff. We are going to do a couple more news articles once the show ends the live version, so the special stuff will be in the podcast edition, so just kind of keep that in mind. That will be on the website about an hour to 2 hours after the show goes off the air. It takes a little bit while for the encoding to actually do stuff. So, big special special awesome thank you to Mark Barley. I believe that is how he told me to pronounce his name. He said it was like Chevrolet, so it's Barley. Mark Barley, president and co-founder of Able Gamers Foundation, ablegamers.com. Big thanks to them for actually taking the time to allow to get interviewed and just kind of talk about their wonderful organization. I have learned today, I've learned today that there is a game where you can actually screw birds and try and get them to mate with you, and for some reason that's a acceptable culture in Germany, so that was disturbing. Thank you for that, Kat. I'm going to not be able to sleep tonight. Gosh, I hate that British lady. She always scares the crap out of me. Always. Always. And the listeners have no idea what I'm talking about. They're like, it's just something that she's just like, hey, your show's almost over. Scary. But Kat, what have you learned today?
Well, aside from the Able Gamers, I pretty much learned that games are still in their infancy stage of development when it comes to assisted technology devices. So I'm really hoping that people will take some time to go over to www.ablegamers.com. I've also learned that Club Penguin is a snow-covered free virtual world where children play games and interact with friends, and that it isn't for 14-year-old boys. Now that Baz has allowed me to recap that.
You're welcome. That's what I do. As always, guys, please check out PortboxMedia.com for everything awesome gaming, nerdy, and geek-related. Make sure to listen next week, where we will be giving more information about our Valentine's prize contest and whatchamajigger. Just kind of keep in mind that this is going to be an awesome contest, and you guys should definitely participate, because if you don't, you're going to miss out on one hell of a prize. That has been all for us here at the live show over at PortboxMedia.com. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Much appreciated. And for those of you who are still with us here at the podcast, we very, very much appreciate it. Kat, there was one article that I wanted to go over real quickly that we didn't have time for.
Okay.
It is Minecraft language update inadvertently contained a racial slur, but it's fixed now, so we're all good. According to joystick.com, now, just let everyone know that there is a bad word in here, so just letting you guys know, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to spell it, so. The Minecraft, if you change the language to Afghanistan's, or what the hell is that language? Afrikaans or something. Something spoken in South Africa and in Nambla, whatever the hell. Something in the south, okay? It normally says you're a something. It just like says like a kind of a fun word. But in this case, it says you're a N-I-G-G-E-R.
And oh, goodness.
Yeah, that was kind of a oops to... to say
oh,
the
my
least.
Goodness.
Oh my gosh, I read that and I about peed myself. I was just like, that's awesome. That is funny as hell. And,
oh
you know,
God.
It's, you know, people are all up in arms about it. And it's just, it's a word. Get over it. Stop being so sentimental and thin-skinned. Another thing, Ken, I wanted to go over really quick was the, what you mentioned. The BioWare had Star Wars cost roughly $200 million, and the game really didn't feel like it was a $200 million game.
Right.
You know, I think 90% of that money went to all the voice actors, and which is really kind of upsetting, because they used a lot of the voice actors for the same stuff. Like, it wasn't a bunch of different voice actors reading a bunch of different lines. It was a good chunk of voice actors, but they were just kind of all reading the same lines, and eventually you're kind of like, okay, well, this guy sounds the same, this guy sounds the same, this guy sounds the same.
Right.
Or this guy's doing a really cheap British accent, or this guy's doing, like, a weird alien accent or something. So...
Exactly.
You know, I do you think that this is something that BioWare will ever do again? Because I know that Mass Effect 3 is completely voice acted, but that's just completely different. Like, everything just sounds so... Everyone's all different. You know, my memory really isn't saying, hey, you know, Mass Effect 1 and 2 had the same voices for this and this character. Like, if maybe because this was such a more vast world, but I find it shocking that the game cost that much and it was released with little to nothing really there.
Right. I think they, at this point, I think they bit off more than they could chew.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's really, from my perspective, in bugs, yes, I understand bugs are going to be in a game, and I hear this from everybody, you know, oh, well, WoW didn't, you know, start off as smooth as, you know, a baby's bottom or whatever, and I've been gaming for such a long time now that I understand this. I mean, we had EverQuest, we had Ultima Online, we had, you know, Dark Age of Camelot, I mean, all of that, I know it, people, I've heard it. I know that no game, when it's released, is bug-free. But the problem with Star Wars The Old Republic is that their bugs are major bugs. They're not bugs that you can just sit here and overlook. Oh, look, there's a glitch in the grass. Big deal. That's not really a big issue. I understand it has it. The big issue is when you get somebody who goes into a flashpoint and they can't complete the flashpoint because of a bug or a class project or anything of the sort, or the class itself is bugged with, you know, they can't, if the UI is bugged, they can't do something. It affects the player. It affects the gameplay, and that's where the problem lies. Yes, I understand there's bugs, but this goes a little bit heavier. Hello?
You'll be listening to Boxset here on GoldBoxMedia.com.
I am a douchebag! Don't know how to play my class? Still do 20k DPS!